we read about the shepherds and the swaddling cloths and the baby coming. And but at the end of that, in Luke 2:19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You will see that multiple times throughout the scripture as Christ was born and as we was growing up. Mary was taking notes. She was pondering things in her heart. And, you know, let's just tell the story a little more. Mary and Joseph both knew what was coming on Christmas Day. The angel had already showed up. And I've still got, I got an echo out there. I'm echoing, aren't I? Echo, echo, echo. I'm good back in the back. You know, the challenge of this room, I can sound good here, but not sound good back there. Is they both knew. The angel had showed up when Mary was all alone and said, you're going to be with child. Say, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to have a child and he will be the Son of God. Now, can you imagine that? You're just hanging out, watching television, you know, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and said, you're pregnant. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to get you to get a picture here. Now, Joseph had a hard time with that at first. If you were engaged to be married to somebody that got pregnant and it wasn't you, would you have a hard time with it? And would you be very suspicious if you knew it wasn't you? Well, Joseph was. And I think we all would have been. But you know what God did? God sent an angel also to Joseph to tell him, and I'm paraphrasing, hey, this is me. This is the Lord. This is God. So Joseph knew, and even in the context, the angel spoke to both of them and even told them what they would name this baby. The baby will be named Jesus. Now, the word Jesus there means Savior. And it goes on to say in the first chapter of Matthew that he'll be named Jesus, which means Savior, and he will come to save his people. Look, before Christmas Day ever came, and I just kind of told the story of what it must have been like last week just to walk to Bethlehem in her condition during the Christmas season. It was the census season, actually, and you know that. I mean, they knew what was coming. I imagine they had talked about what is coming. Look, if an angel shows up in your living room tonight or in the morning, you will never forget it. Right? Do you think it would be somewhat life-changing? Whoa! It could be terrifying. It could be too much. I mean, just think about that. That's what's happened to them. So now we get all the way to the Christmas season, and Mary does have the baby. The shepherds show up, and the swaddling cloths are the confirmation and the sign that he's the Savior. And we talked about all that last week. It was the swaddling cloth that was the sign. Don't have time to go back there, but I thought that was pretty powerful. And so now Mary has the baby. The shepherds have showed up. And then it says, Mary treasured all these things. Well, of course it's a treasure. If you're a mother or a grandmother, things that happen in your family or things that's happening with your grandkids, and what I'm enjoying right now, you know, and we were singing and I'm reflecting on when I was a kid at home, and then I started reflecting when all my babies were at home and they were little, and you know, we had so much fun at home, and I was reflecting about all that and then how they've grown up. I mean, I was just pondering. I was reflecting. I was thinking about some of the Christmas. Well, that's what we do, don't we? I mean, so Mary's thinking about, boy, the angel showed up 9 months ago, and here we are, and it says that she pondered them in her heart. Yeah, we can take that scripture down. The word ponder means to consider, to put things in your mind and your heart and consider. Can I just time out 10 seconds? We need to take time with God, or we need quiet time every day just to ponder. Some call it reflection. I double, triple, dog dare you to take 5 minutes a day to sit down and be quiet and just think and just reflect. And so there's many things to ponder about Christmas. I'm going to share a handful of things, two or three things. There's many more things than I can share with you this morning, but things to ponder. How many of you believe that Jesus is still relevant today? How many in the house believe that God's Word is still relevant today? God's Word is true, and God's Word works 100% of the time. We've learned that whether we've been saved 30 years plus, 20 years plus, 10 years plus, 2 weeks plus, or whatever it is. Mark, you're going to find out as you walk with Christ and apply His Word to your life, it's foolproof. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the Word. God's ways work. Christmas is still relevant today. He came 2,000 years ago, but He lives and rules and reigns today. And He is a reality here this morning because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will go to the Father and I'll send my Comforter. Jesus is risen. He's at the right hand of the Father for His children interceding for us this morning. The Bible says that. And He sent the Holy Spirit so that we know Jesus is still alive. God's Word is still relevant today. God's Word is still relevant today. God the Father is relevant. God the Son Jesus is relevant. God the Holy Spirit is relevant. God's Word is still relevant. Everybody say relevant. Still works. The word relevant means to be able to deal with or having to do with the case at hand. Philippians 2, 6 and 8. A great Christmas scripture, actually. Philippians 2, 6 and 8. Speaking of Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, right, did not count equality with God to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, this is even humbling to read. Being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So in that one scripture, we get the Christmas story as well as the Easter story. We see Christmas to Easter in that one verse. But there's some important things in those Christmas verses. Is number one, and again, it's a simple thing, is Christ emptied Himself. That's what the literal translation says. Think about this. Even in the beginning, and you can read in Genesis, the word for God is plural. Even in the beginning, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit were in perfect harmony. Hey, everybody want to go to heaven someday? Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, the Word says. I mean, you talk about heaven. Perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect health. Perfect. Say perfect. Perfect. No more heartache, no more stress. Anybody had any stress this year? And about the rest of your line. Perfect peace. Perfect joy. No more heartache. No more tears. That's what heaven has for us. But look, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God they didn't need us. The Trinity was in perfect harmony, and if I could put it this way, in the comforts of heaven. And it said that Christ, we just read it, made Himself nothing, emptying Himself. It become like a servant, become like a slave being made in human likeness. And some theologians don't call that the humility of Christ. Some theologians call that the humiliation of Christ. You ever been humiliated? We all have. We're all old enough in this room to. It's one thing to be humbled. Sometimes I need to be humbled. Can I get an amen? And God has a way of doing that. And He tries it the easy way. And if the easy way doesn't work, well, then He has other methods. But Jesus never wants to humiliate anybody. You know what it feels like to be humiliated. I've been humiliated. That's what happened when Christ came to earth. That's humiliating. What am I trying to say? If you work or you're in corporate or you're anywhere, we're trying to get a step up, right? I mean, everybody could use more salary this year. Give me an amen on that. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus wants to do that for you. But Almighty God, through His Son Christ, stepped down. He didn't take the front seat at the table. He took the back seat of the table. He didn't have to have all the glory. God stepped down. Still something I like to practice. And not as much as I used to because my back and my neck doesn't work very well. But when I'm talking to children, I like to step down. And I can't bend down anymore, so now I have to step down. Maybe that's what God's trying to get me to do all along. Scott, come here. Yeah, you didn't do it. He said, what did I do? Nothing. No, he didn't say that. Right there. Now, Scott, if I'm talking to you like this, how does it make you feel? Little. How about this? No, you haven't ungrown me yet. He said same height. Okay, wait. Now what? Same height. Now what? That's what Jesus did. Where are you this morning? Where are you right now? Jesus is in the house. And He stepped down. And wherever you are this morning, He'll step down right where you're at. You say, well, I don't deserve it. I know, I don't either. None of us did. Are you struggling this morning? He stepped down. Are you stressed this morning? He'll step right into your stress with you. He humbled Himself. You know what? Losing 30 pounds, I can step up on the stage again. Wow. He stepped down. And I'm going to keep moving, Bob. I don't know that I'll hit these verses. So, look, He stepped out of eternity, though. Let's unpack the Scripture a little more because I got to move. To serve us. The Scripture says in Luke 22:25-27, if we've got it, go ahead and pull that up. The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. These are the words with Jesus. Rather let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater than one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I among you is one who serves. Almighty God stepped down through His Son. Ponder that. I've been pondering what Christmas is about. Almighty God stepped down to meet us, and we were in our sin, and some of us are in our sin this morning. He meets us right where we are, and what did He teach us? He stepped down to serve us. Are you kidding me? A king serving me? I should be serving the king. Are you kidding me? The King of kings and the Lord of lords humbled Himself and stepped down to serve us? What an amazing God we serve. What a wonderful Jesus we serve. And because he stepped down, we need to step down. Because he serves, we should serve. Somebody give me a hallelujah on that. He stepped down and came and showed his love among us. John 15, 12 and 13 says this, and we're going to hit a couple verses pretty quick. Speaking of Jesus. Oop, go back. Go back. John 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I got to go back to John 1, 1 and 2. No. Yes. Thank you, right there. Bob, I messed you up. I'm jumping ahead. John 15, 12, and 13. Sorry, y'all. It's on me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. 1 John 3:16 then says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. He stepped down. He stepped down to serve us. He stepped down to love us. And lastly, he stepped down while we were even sinners. He died for us. While we were yet sinners, the Scripture said he died for us. The Scripture also says in the book of Luke 19 and 9 and 10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So he came to love us. He came to serve us. But most importantly, he came to save us. Have y'all pondered that? Pastor, I knew that in Sunday school. Ponder it. Ponder Christmas. Ponder salvation. Ponder what Christ did. Ponder what Christ has done. Ponder it, ponder it, ponder it. Ponder His love. Ponder His goodness. Ponder His kindness. Ponder His mercy. Ponder His patience with you. Ponder it, ponder it, ponder it. Think about it. Think about how relevant that is this morning. But you know what? I didn't pursue Him first. There's a big, big thing here that's a simple, simple concept. Even while I was yet a sinner, He died for me. He went to the cross before I was even born. He went to the cross before I went to Him. I walked into that little Assembly of God church all those years ago. I didn't want Jesus. I'm telling you clearly right now, I didn't want Jesus. I did not. Did I mention I didn't want Jesus? I wanted my marriage to be healed, and I wanted everything to be okay. But I wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus stepped down in that little Assembly of God church and met a young guy that didn't want the Lord whatsoever, much less walk with the Lord, be a preacher. Are you kidding me? That came 2 or 3 years later. He stepped down. He pursued me. He pursued us. Almighty God, in perfect harmony and comfort, came to earth, and He's here this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's pursuing you. He's calling you to a higher place. If you're lost, He wants to save you. If you're down, He wants to pick you up. But He's come to us this morning. He's here with us this morning. He pursued us. Just pondering. So many people, and He came for a specific reason, and I've listed some of those today. People have all kinds of views of God. I mean, even more so in the last 10 years, people have all kinds of ideas of who God is. Is what God is, where God is. Most people are willing to talk about God. But if it's not the God of Christmas, Jesus Christ, and it's not the God of the Bible, it's not God at all. There's no other God There's no other way, the scripture says, by which man may be saved, the man Christ Jesus. So people, even, I don't want to go there this morning, people even shape their own Jesus. If it's not Jesus of the Bible, it's the Jesus in your mind, which might not be Jesus at all, or it may be a variation, but not truly who Jesus is. We want to have Jesus of the Bible in our heart. Is that right? The real Jesus, not the one I create. I could preach a sermon on that. I'm pondering. He came for a reason. In the beginning was the Word, and now we'll do John 1 and 1 and 2. And I jumped ahead of you, Bob, and I'm sorry. In the beginning was the Word, speaking to Jesus, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then we'll jump to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we talked about the incarnation last week, so I won't reteach that this week. But the greatest expression of God's grace, mercy, and compassion was when He sent His Son on Christmas Day. And then we know that His Son paid the ultimate price for our sin and died. He went to the grave. He rose. He came back for a few days. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. The greatest revelation of God is in His Son, Jesus. It's never been repeated. It's never been duplicated. It'll never be repeated again. He came to be among us. He stepped down, all man and all God. Some of you have heard the old Paul Harvey story. I've probably told it two or three times over the year, but you've probably heard it. But I'm going to tell it again anyway. The raw winter cold night, blizzard, wind chill below zero. The man was in his kitchen with the lights on, and all of a sudden these sparrows started flying into his window. It had gotten too cold. Even the sparrows would probably die. They were attracted to the light and the warmth that was inside. The farmer wanted to do something about it, so he bundled up. He goes outside. He heads to the barn. He opens the doors. He turns the barn light on. He makes a pile of hay. He took crackers with him. He breaks up crackers in the barn. He breaks up crackers outside and makes a trail. And the birds, you know what their response was? They hid in the darkness. He tried all types of tactics. Some of y'all hiding in the darkness this morning. He tried all kinds of things. He went out. He went into the darkness looking for them. He could stir them up. He went out. He dropped crackers everywhere. He could stir them up. He tried to get them in. He tried everything he could to no avail, because they did not understand. The man said to himself, if only I could become a bird. If only I could be one of them for just a moment in time, I could lead them to warmth and safety. That's what Jesus is like. He was sent to earth, and the scripture says, so that we may have life and life abundantly. He was sent to earth so that we can have eternal life in heaven, but so that we can have life and life abundantly, the scripture says, on this earth. He come to this dark mud hole of a world and a mud hole of a heart because He loved us. That's what God is like. That's what Jesus is like. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody give me an amen. You don't have to hide in the darkness any longer. You don't have to live in shame any longer. You don't have to default to flesh any longer. You don't have to do it. Jesus has stepped down, and He's stepping into your life this morning as I speak. Jesus would go on to say, anyone who has seen Him has seen God the Father. You know, I'm just still pondering. This may not be the perfectly put together message this morning, but I'm just pondering. I'm thinking about what Christ means to us and what Christ has done. You say, well, I'm not where I should be. I'm away for God. He's here this morning. It's time to come back home. It's time to come back into the Savior's arms. It's time to walk with Him again. It's time. Somebody say it's time. John 1:14, and I'll read it again. It said, we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. Now, the word glory there means God's manifestation in His Son. And we know that He come down here and walked with us. It speaks of a visible presence of God. And see, the Old Testament in Exodus, and you could go back and study it, God would show up in power. God would show up, and you remember what that was called? The Shekinah glory. Sometimes the word for glory means weighty. You know, if you feel a little tension in your heart this morning, maybe it's the weighty presence of Jesus touching your life. But it's the weighty glory. And again, Jesus said that He would go to the Father, and but that we could still experience the glory through the Holy Spirit. What's your last pondering? The simplest thing I could think of is we can walk in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I've checked. All can be saved. The Scripture says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He stepped down for the whole world. Red, yellow, black, white, brown, young, old, in between. Every tribe, tongue, and nation, Jesus stepped down for them. And Jesus still saves. But, you know, are you just interested in getting your ticket punched? Thank you. I mean, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Couldn't get there on my own. It's because of the grace of Christ. But on that day, Jesus punched my ticket to heaven. He did something in my heart. I mean, why get your ticket punched to heaven and not have a relationship with Almighty God while you're here? See, you can have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today. Hebrews 8:10-12 says this. See, it's not, Christianity should not be an outward form of religion, but an inward form of relationship with Christ. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. And that's us too. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one of his neighbor and each one of his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to greatest. We can know the Lord, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Listen, I'm all for Bible memorization and Bible knowledge and all that. And I've been reading this book now for 35 plus years, really on a regular basis. But when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, yes, He saves you forever, but He transforms forms something in your heart and puts a desire in your heart to know Him, to walk with Him, to live in relationship with, oh, I see that, I can't do it. He takes this and He writes this in your heart. Christianity is not a list of don't do's. Christianity, when God begins to write these things in your heart, is a religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ that says, I want to live with Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to live pure. I want to have integrity. I want to love others. I want to have kindness. I want to have patience. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to. I want to. I want to. God has stepped down this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He didn't want to just punch your ticket. He wants to touch your heart and write the Word of God in your heart this morning. Give the Lord a hand. You know, I went to the Final Four a few years ago, and y'all know that I love only one basketball team, the University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm converting a few at a time, and I know some of you think that's of the devil. We're having fun if you're our guest. And some of you are nodding, yeah, my team's God's team. What if I'd have just kept my ticket stub? I don't think I did. But you hear what I'm saying. I could go back to that ticket and say, man, I finally got to go to a Final Four. Do you know what? That was 2 years ago. When's the last time you let Jesus touch your heart? Has it been 3 years ago? I know you got your ticket. But would you rather look at a ticket or walk with Him every day? Would you rather look at a ticket or be at the game? What would you rather do? Would you rather live your life on a revelation you had 22 years ago or 22 days ago or 22 weeks ago? Or would you like to get up every morning and say, here I am again, Jesus! Walking with God. Y'all don't think about that enough. I've been pondering that. Well, where do I go from here? You better hold on because I don't know, and now you're in real trouble. What I'm teaching you today or illustrating for you, I'm going to tell a personal story. It had nothing to do and still has nothing to do with me being a pastor. I just want to qualify. And then number two, it has nothing to do with me building me up or saying, look what I did. I'm in need of the grace of Jesus Christ every day of my life, just like you are. And let me tell you what. Bible reading doesn't necessarily get you to heaven or put you at, you know, the grace of Jesus Christ is what gets you to heaven. I just want to be balanced, and I don't want you to misinterpret me. But when we want Christ, the God that pursued us, and He puts a desire in us to pursue Him, one of the things we start doing is we start, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was Jesus. This is His Word, if you want to know Him. And I can remember, and I was raised in church. And I was raised in church, and for the most part, most of my life, still didn't know God. Now, I thank God I was raised in church because it was grandmama, both grandmamas, mama, that sowed stuff into me that later blossomed in my life. And I remember, first Bible ever given to me was by one grandma, 5 years old. And honestly, until I gave my heart to Christ back in the early 80s or mid 80s, I didn't read it that much. Every now and then I'd go read the book of Revelation because, I mean, you know, that's like, wow, well, that's like Star Wars in the Bible kind of stuff. Right? That's why I read it. I'm telling how many went to see Star Wars this weekend. I'm just curious. Look at there. It's okay to go to the movies. Boy, we wouldn't have preached that 30 years ago in any denomination. She gave me that Bible. But later when I come to Christ, I started reading it. You know why? It was this in my other grandmother's Bible. It's the only one I had. But I remember the guy that was discipling me, who actually I was serving alongside. He got me, and he had an NIV Thompson Chain reference, hard copy, and I had to have one. I asked him, how should I read it? What should I read? And I'm going to tell you what, and this is, again, I promise you, this is no boast. This is not intended to be a boast, because this should be normal for everybody walking in relationship with Christ. This is not, what I'm sharing with you today is not extraordinary. It should be ordinary in a Christian's life. Okay? 1 year, I had to start duct taping this thing. Ate it up, tore it up. It was tearing me up in a good way. I was learning. I was growing. You know, I still go back. I took notes. I marked it up. I duct taped it again and again because, you know, your hard copy Bibles become special. Now, I mean, I've got three times as many Bibles. These are Bibles that I've read, Bibles that meant something to me. But, yeah, about a year, and I had to get another one. So what did I get? I got an NIV, genuine leather. I couldn't believe how much they cost. Their leather Bibles are really expensive. They were in the 80s and they are today. And I mean, I devoured it. I mean, the pages are falling out. It's marked up. There's notes in it. I mean, I got notes upon notes upon notes. I got Spurgeon quotes. I got the 16 fundamental truths of the Assembly of God. And they're right on, by the way. I'm having fun with it, but they're right on the money. Anyway, just if I turn it just all to pieces, teaching on 14 teachings on blood. I mean, and you know what? Can I tell you something? I wore this thing out. I mean, the pages were falling out, and so you know what I did? I went out and bought another more NIV Thompson Chain reference. Look, you give me an NIV Thompson Chain, give me 15 minutes, I can preach all day. And I wore it out. The covers almost tore off of it. You know, I still go back to these Bibles sometime. You know why? Because it's only in certain pages at certain times have special places and meanings for me. And I can't always find them in my newest Bible. Somewhere along the line, somebody threw in a Scofield. It was my first study Bible. Now, I don't even agree with all of Scofield's theology, but I tell you what, he dug it out of the Word as far as exegesis. That's another story. So when I wore this one out, and somebody threw in an NIV study Bible that I kept on my nightstand. And by the way, when I was reading these at my nightstand in the morning, I put one in the car, and I had one at the office at work. You know why I had them there? So that I could read them. And this is representing probably 25 to 30 years of my walk. You know what? When I wore this Thompson Chain NIV out, you know what I went? I went out and bought a new Thompson Chain NIV. And it's wearing out. I don't use it as much as I used to. I do my devotions with this. And I do my devotions with this, ESV, New Living Testament. I keep this one in the office now so that I have something handy. This is the Bible I'll be preaching from next week, going back to NIV the first Sunday of January. Been using ESV the last year. Why do we do that? Just to keep learning God's Word. Don't get in a rut, but guess what I always go back to? And I'm not promoting that you do. It's just one of many good translations, preaching Bible, devotional Bible, in the office Bible. Remember when I first put that one on the nightstand? We never went to sleep without reading the Bible. Was at my bedside. And God was there. I get up in the morning. I have the same place every morning, unless I'm traveling. I come to Him, His Word, and I sit down in the chair by the fireplace. And although it's been close to 40 years, it still feels like yesterday. He showed up to my bedside. The same God that stepped down to my bedside is still stepping down at the fireside this morning. What has this got to do with anything, Pastor? It's not about Bible reading. You need to read your Bible. It's not about Bible knowledge. You need Bible knowledge. You can study this all your life and not have all the wonderful truth and knowledge that's in this Bible. Why so many Bibles? These are the ones I've read all my life all the time. I have other piles of them that are just, you know, decoration, I guess. Is your Bible more than a decoration? But why? Oh, wait, you're a pastor. This has nothing to do with pastoring. This is exceptional. It's not exceptional. It's normal. Then why? This is why. And it's part of the Christmas message. Jesus stepped down and Jesus wants us to know Him. And when I crack open the Scripture, wherever I am, I can know Jesus. Not just about Jesus, not just Scripture memorization. I can know Jesus. I can be with Jesus. I can experience Jesus. I can talk to Jesus. Jesus talks to me. We can know God. I've been pondering. I can almost turn anywhere. Anytime. I read that before. No, it's more than that. Jesus spoke to me there. Jesus spoke to me there and changed my life. He's still relevant today, church. And He's still speaking. You ever had a Christmas gift you didn't open? open the gift of salvation this morning. Open the gift of knowing Jesus. Open the gift of hearing His voice. Open the gift of living with Him and for Him. Lord, we thank You for the greatest grace.